Welcome to Notcast, episode 370, Premeditated Sin. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And you're getting one more bonus episode before the end of the year because reasons.
Yeah, because I was like, it sucked to miss the last episode of the year because I had a cold. So I was just randomly like, hey, Saverin, you up for a quickie?
Yeah, and of course we say it's going to be a quickie, so of course it'll be a three-hour episode. Probably not, but here we are.
Not quite that long, but see you in 90.
Yes. So you're no longer having to deal with a cold.
Yeah. My allergies are kicking my ass. I was sneezing at work today, I think, because they have the heater on in the office. But that's just normal crap. I no longer feel like shit like you do when you have a cold. So.
Like, it's December 7th, and we only just turned on the heat a couple days ago, so we had that lovely smell of burning dust for a day or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And the heat's on, and it works, and that's great, but, dust.
We lucked out at my house, because we had our ducts cleaned last year, so there wasn't actually that much dust in the system. So I smelled it very slightly, but it didn't kick up my allergies or anything, so that's good.
It was 70 this week, now it's gonna get down to 20 tonight. It'll be 70 again next week, because what is weather? Who the fuck cares? Winter, it doesn't reel. There we go.
It doesn't reel. Yeah, it's Texas.
At least we're not on fire.
Yeah, God, like, did you see shit. That video from the highway that somebody shot? And it's like, this is my commute. Just passing through the fires of Mount Doom here, you know?
And, of course, somebody recaptioned the screen cap of that, which is 2018 on one of the signs, just, like, going towards 2018.
Oh, jeez.
And there's also this one video of this guy rescuing a bunny from the side of the road.
I heard about that one, yeah.
And, of course, some website, Slate, it was like, oh, don't praise this guy for saving the bunny, and people's replies were all, fuck you. That guy saved a bunny. Like, that's good.
We need some bunny saving. We need some goodness in this hellscape of a year.
That's been really cute. And, like, Mitch Larson, he tweeted that he had to evacuate last night, but the LA Fire Department was able to keep the fire from jumping the freeway to getting his neighborhood. So he still has a house for now. Mm. So that's good.
He has wings, though. Couldn't he just fly out?
Probably. And my other SoCal dudes and dudettes are thus far okay, but it's a bit toasty out there.
It's fucking insane. And apparently the firefighters are having a real hard time today because of the way the winds were acting or something. Yeah. Made it really difficult to fight the fire. And
the way that the landscape works out there with the canyons funneling the wind. And
I guess that makes it hard for the choppers to dump the massive amounts of water in areas. Because, like, you can't fly a helicopter in certain types of windy, super windy situations.
Just been kind of wild seeing that in the weather. But there has been a couple things that have brought some joy to the world. At least to the internet. And people have been tired of it. They're already tired of it, but it's only been a day.
And I'm like, oh, honey, this is going to be around for years.
That Zootopia comic.
This is going to be like the screen cap of the baby fur going, bah!
Yes.
Like, it's going to, pics of this comic, pieces of it are going to keep showing up. And somebody I know already made a Telegram sticker pack of it.
I know, right? So, yeah, the comic, it's I Will Survive by, let me pull up the guy's name, because I've been clowning on it real hard and enjoying it and having fun, you know, sharing around the various edits people have done. By Borba is the guy's name.
Okay.
And it was initially posted to Zootopia News Network, which is just another fan blog along the lines of, like, Equestria Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe run by some of the same folks, even, for all I know. But they posted, this is from back in June, and it just now got found and just now blew the fuck up. It's this webcomic where Nick and Judy are living together. It's post-movie, and Judy finds herself pregnant with Nick's spawn. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yo, I can't have this kid. I gotta have an abortion. And she also brings up the fact that she's vaguely afraid that the pregnancy will kill her because size difference.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this child's head is probably going to be the size of her torso, so...
Yeah.
Kind of an issue.
And he... Oh. There's actually been an update to the Zootopia News Network site going, hey, this got found, and we're getting a lot of traffic. Just, hi, welcome to our little band of not furry, we're totally not furry guys, furries aren't real, we're Zootopians.
Did you see this version? I think I said it to you.
The fox is not a service animal, yeah.
Which is like a double meme.
Basically, Judy finds herself pregnant, she wakes Nick up, says, yo, I'm pregnant, and I really can't have your kid, this is not good. And Nick does the guilt trip, what about your baby could grow up to be the next Einstein kind of thing, mm-hmm. And then she's like, no, and he's like, alright, fuck you, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And most people...
And Boozy Badger tweeted, what does the fox say? I can't believe you want an abortion!
Or, I'm thinking Arby's. And so this is one of those things where the art is really good, but the content's bad.
Yeah.
And people have taken the comic and edited it to hell and back, which has made things really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the remix culture of the internet grabbed this with its fangy jaw and shook it until the fun flew out.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple variations on the Loss comic...
Yeah, which I didn't know about until another furry on Twitter told me about it, and it was an old Control-Alt-Delete comic, and I had to go do a search for it, and apparently it was like a massive meme back when it first came out.
And it's still a massive meme because people still do the deconstructions of it,
mm-hmm.
And they're trying to see how abstract they can make it.
Yeah, I've seen the one where it's just like the lines representing each character.
And so I made a version of the Lost comic. Somebody else made a completely different version with different frames,
mm-hmm.
with still the same composition kind of thing. There's people that actually cut out the characters and put them into the actual original Lost comic.
God.
Like, people have had so much fun with this dumb little comic.
And it's like, it's quite a few pages. What is it, 16, 18 pages?
Oh, it's a lot.
It's this really well drawn, like, line art, crosshatched kind of style. And I just, like, man, why couldn't this guy just draw porn like a normal person?
It's 24 pages long.
24 pages, yeah.
And someone was like, is this Junji Ito? Because it looks very much like that guy's comic style. But I'll have to dig up some stuff and show you, because okay. He has a very freaky style that's actually really in line with the style that Borba puts in this comic here.
Yeah, like, I mean, some of, like, the facial expressions and the actions and stuff like that, like, it's very evocative. I mean, if this guy did a comic that wasn't, like, an idiot pro-life point of view, it might be good, but it's just so... It's so out of character, too. And the title of the episode comes from a line that Nick says in the comic.
As he's leaving Judy.
Yeah, he's like, you should have told me about your premeditated sin. And I'm just like... Nick Wilde doesn't strike me as the kind of person to be super religious.
But yeah, the line from the comic, do you want to talk? There's something I'd like to know. Why didn't you keep it a secret from me? I mean, why don't you just get rid of our child without me knowing anything? And Judy replies, it wouldn't be the most honest thing to do. What? I thought you deserved to know. Huh. It had been better for you, for us, if you had kept me in the dark about your premeditated sin. Goodbye, Judy. Premeditated Sin.
Ah, oh, another great band name.
Yeah. So, it's goofy, Judy is sad, and now, like, even if she did decide to have the kid, she'd be a single mom, which is also bad under these people's ideology, so there's no winning for her. And so people have redone it and remixed it. There's this fantastic remix where it's all about Arby's.
Nick, I have something to tell you. The Arby's down the street closed, and Nick freaks out, gets all upset, and... talks about how juicy and amazing their meats are, and Judy's like, for God's sake, Nick, no mammal should eat this much Arby's.
You're spitting in the face of God.
You said you liked their curly fries.
I lied, Nick. I lied.
someone put a lot of thought into. Oh, another thing that a lot of people are putting a lot of thought into on Twitter is people are using hashtag War on Christmas. And they're actually typing out stories about the war on Christmas. And there's this great thread of like 15 tweets or something where someone's like, you know, we're sneaking up on like an elf outpost and the elf all have these certain powers and stuff like that. But they found a loophole in their security system and they're going to hack their way in. And it's something like, there was only, I can't remember what it was. There's only one way to kill an elf. And they're like, so-and-so found that out the hard way when he shot an elf 3 times in the face and then it got up and hacked him to pieces. People are having fun with it. It's great.
It's not normal to eat this much Arby's. You're a medical anomaly. You need to stop trying to challenge God. Also, in other good news, because there's a little bit of good news, Australia has legalized same-sex marriage.
That's right, yeah.
And Austria.
Oh, I hadn't
literally, heard of that. So Austria and Australia. Good thing they don't get mixed up at all, but both places have legalized same-sex marriage.
Huh, I'm surprised Austria didn't already have it.
They took a while to get around to it, I guess.
Yeah. Because a lot of places in the EU do.
Yeah, and that probably was, like, recognized across borders, but who knows.
Yeah, but they're not officially part of the EU. I'm not sure. I forget, like, it's not every country in Europe. There's, like, certain ones that aren't. Like, I think Finland isn't, or something like that. But anyway, yay, that's good, you know?
And it passed with no bullshit amendments on it. And there's a really great thing you could search on Twitter, the Eat Shit Tory. If you just search for that, it was basically everybody using that phrase, telling the leader of the opposition, who is like, oh, this thing stomps in the face of parental rights, the parental right to tell you your kids that gays are evil. Everyone's like, eat shit, Tory. And of course, for a little bit, he was retweeting him being like, hashtag love wins. So basically, what he was doing was drawing attention to himself. Just so he can get those sweet martyr points.
Yeah. Oh, and well, the positive story I heard out of that was that one gay lawmaker proposed to his boyfriend, who's also a gay lawmaker.
Nice.
In the same parliament.
So, keeping it gay.
Yep. Because, like, they did that. I guess they had had a law where it was illegal, and then they did, like, this national poll. So then their parliament basically said, this is the will of the people. We're going to put it in the law.
There we go.
And it was pretty much pretty large margin of yes votes. So
yeah.
So that's good.
Here's another one of those. There was this stupid comic recently where the guy is like, well, my bike got stolen recently. I was pretty bummed about it. But in the thing, the guy who stole my bike was probably happier than I was to lose the bike. So I guess it's a net increase of happiness in the world.
Aww.
And there's a Nick Nugent version. My wife had an abortion recently. I was pretty bummed out about it. But I think she was probably more happy to get rid of it than I am sad to lose the baby. So, whatever. The little happiness in the world increased. And of course, they're using the art from the comic.
Just pasted in there.
I have to say, like, yes, it is clowning on somebody's hard work. But at least it's been something fun to point at for the last little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, goddamn, there's enough dumb shit in the world going on.
Yep.
You know, we've got these dominionist fuckheads literally trying to spark Armageddon in the Middle East.
God, yeah. Ugh.
So, for those of you that were not raised in evangelical Christianity, the end times are a big fucking deal. I'm sure some of you guys remember the Left Behind books, right?
I've heard of them.
Well,
didn't they make a video game based on them?
They made a video game. They made a couple movies starring Kirk Cameron. One of them is Nicolas Cage.
Wait, so, one of them is Nicolas Cage?
I am not shitting you, yes.
The Beast! The Beast!
Nice. And it's this end-of-the-world bullshit thing where they take biblical literalism, insert it to the modern day.
Or Steve.
Sorry, and adopted a dog. Basically, it's the end of the world. The Antichrist comes to power very literally, persecutes the Christians very literally, chopping off their heads and shit, and then end of the world happens, and the surviving victorious Christians and quote-unquote good Jews go to heaven.
Mm.
Part of that is Jerusalem will be recognized internationally as the capital of Israel, and they'll rebuild the Temple Mount, and then Russia gets a bee up its ass and nukes Israel, but Israel's protected by God. And then Armageddon starts rolling out.
Wait, how does Russia have nukes in the Bible?
It's called biblical bullshit, but basically...
It's called bullshit. Okay,
it's all bullshit, really.
Yeah.
The revelation was Saul tripping balls on an island dying of disease.
Yeah.
And it was a book that was almost not included in the Bible because it was just too far out there.
Yeah.
But they ultimately included it.
As if some of the shit in the Bible is not already
out well, this there. One's got, like, seven-headed beasts and horrors of Babylon and... this, that, and the other. It's a really wild book. If you read it, it's some really great early science fiction. You've got this vein, this crust of people in evangelical Christianity who are very hardcore about bringing about the end of the literal fucking world by igniting Armageddon, by putting into place the various things that they feel put the puzzle pieces in place for them to spark the end of the
world.
These
are the people that were really pro Iraq war during the Bush administration because they're like, he's doing his work to bring about war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing, like, Trump doesn't strike me as a particularly religious person, so it's got to be some crazy-ass people in his cabinet or pulling his strings.
Well, I mean, you've got Pence, who's incredibly religious, and you've got all the people that are telling him to do shit, and he's like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. There's plenty of people out there, like, denying this, and I'm like, kids, I grew up in this. This is what people very seriously have believed. The Left Behind books were major bestsellers for a big reason, because it was selling Armageddon to the masses in fucking fictional form. It's no more fictional than, you know, the actual fucking book, but they brought it up to be this modern-day thing. And so it's wild to see this, because when you have the perspective of somebody who grew up around it, it just blows your fucking mind that they're literally going down this little checklist, trying to spark the final conflict that will end the world, and all the sinners will die gorily, and they'll be okay because they get to go to heaven, but everyone else is just fucked, right? And of course, in the books and in the Bible, the rapture is supposed to happen, so I guess it happened and a bunch of these fuckers are still around? You know, it turns out maybe David Bowie was the only one, and he got taken.
So it was like David Bowie and Prince were the only ones that qualified.
Yeah. So,
and I'll throw in Alan Rickman.
It's a very slow one because they died at different times. But, you know, it's really bizarre and unsettling. And there's like, there's fuck all I can do, but whew, what to do?
I'm just... As someone who didn't grow up in a particularly religious atmosphere, it just... Religion fucking blows my mind. Like, the fact that people actually believe any of this shit literally happened or is going to happen is just completely crazy to me.
Yeah.
It's the same level of truth as Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny to me. Like, it was this fun story I was told as a kid, you know, Noah's Ark and everything. Santa will bring you presents, and the Tooth Fairy will give you money. And then you gradually find out that all that shit isn't real, and it was just your parents fucking with you. And I put all the religious stories in the same box as those kind of myths.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, they're neat myths to study. Like, the Greek and Roman gods are really neat to study and they're neat stories to read, but you don't have people trying to bring about the end of the world in the name of Thor, you know? And I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there. There's probably, like, a guy.
He's like, oh, I'm going to incite Ragnarok. Woo!
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. This shit, it's insane. And, you know, Easter creeps me the fuck out. When everyone is like, he is risen and stuff like that. Like, that just, like, it really tweaks some thing in my psyche that's like, this sounds like a cult.
It's just a really big one.
It's scary, honestly. And for a non-believer, like, see people, like, actually believe this stuff. And you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, and how you can justify... You know, and the thing is, for Armageddon to even be kicked off, basically 99% of the Jews have to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing about that people are like, this is not good, and that various Palestinian groups have been like, this is a really bad idea, you shouldn't do this, we're going to start blowing shit up again, is that throwing the whole peace process, the whole trying to do the two-state thing, just in the garbage, because previously, you know, Tel Aviv is not necessarily near the West Bank, but when they're saying, no, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, it is theirs, fuck off, you're basically pissing off the rest of the Muslim world, which has them surrounded. And so you've got this very belligerent, angry little state with nuclear weapons and everybody else around them. But then Iran also has nuclear weapons. And you have this very volatile shit pile that people are literally stirring that, for some of them, they just want Israel to get nuked off the map, or, in this case, God to protect Israel, which, what happens when that actually doesn't happen at all? Like, oh, a nuke just hit insert cities in Israel here, and the magic doesn't happen. What are they going to do? Whoops, we rolled a one on the God protection table. He was asleep at the time. Whoops. So.
Yeah, sorry, all you Jews.
You had to die at Medigo to satiate our bloodlust, but the magic's not happening, so we're going to go back to the drawing table. Could you guys repopulate and we'll try again in 50 years?
Yeah, because you know they're not just going to be like, fuck, I guess we were wrong.
Yeah.
All this is bullshit. No, there will be some fucking loophole in some obscure biblical passage. It's like, oh, this didn't happen, that's why God didn't step in and stop the nuke this time, or whatever.
Yeah, so, needless to say, that's been pretty wild. Oh, God. 2017 feels like it's been going on forever. It's hard to believe it was only February when Martin Luther was excommunicated from the Catholic Church for writing the 95 Theses. And actually, kind of cool news, though, today, Colin Space Twinks on Twitter tweeted about that they'd gotten a big collection of old furry comics and was like, yo, I need to fucking start digitally archiving some of these. And I've been saying I need to do that myself, and I tweeted at him going, hey, you know, I got a bunch of old shit myself. And he was like, yo, those Albedo comics that you have, those are
hard to find.
Those are hard to find. Some furry history, you should scan that shit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I have no good way to scan them. Like, I've got this ancient-ass scanner behind me that my computer won't recognize, and there's a scanner on my printer in the front room, but having to walk back and forth, it's like a bitch. I need a bigger one, because...
Get a really long USB cord.
Well, no, I can network it.
Right, right.
But I can't, you know, adjust the pages.
Yeah.
It's not a simple process.
Right,
but I need,
right,
like, a full double-page size scanner to try to get all of the comic, if I can do that, because I'm also really, you know, I want to be very careful with those, because those are old-ass comics. The ones right there to your left, Fuzz.
Yeah.
Those are from, like, 1990. But, like, I've got an issue of Critters, number one, from, like, 1986, from June 1986. This comic is 33 years old at this point? No.
1986 would be 2019, so,
yeah. Time, fuck it. Did you know that it's been 5 million years since the start of 2017? It feels like it, right?
Yeah.
So, I have just been like, oh, I need to fucking scan these things, I need to go through and, like, if anything, I can look at my collection of furlough that I've got and try to help them fill the gaps if they're going to try to archive that shit. Because I'm pretty sure that some of the early issues of furlough are not available digitally. And I know for a fact that certain things like Albedo are not necessarily out there.
Most of that stuff is not available digitally. I do know of a guy on Twitter who's calling himself a furry historian who has recently completed his collection of every single issue of furlough.
Nice.
I'm not sure if he's... Oh, that's torn. That's pretty.
But yeah.
I'm not sure if he's digitizing it or not. I mean, I'm so torn on that, too, because, like, there's also the issue of...
Rights.
Of rights. Yeah. Like, okay, some of these artists are...
Dead.
Are dead, or they've left the fandom, or they don't give a shit about their 20-year-old comics, and they've moved on, or whatever. But, you know, you can't just assume that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like author's rights. It's like, this was why Google ended up having to go to court about the whole thing, their whole book scanning thing and stuff like that, which I think Google actually won. Like, the Authors Association took them to court over it, and it was like a big thing and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Kitchen Sink Press, I think, still exists, and they're the ones that printed out the Omaha the Cat Dancer trade paperbacks that I own from 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Like, technically, they still exist. I don't think that they're in print anymore. Like, I'm actually really, really sure that they're not in print. Because they were in the collectibles section of the half-price books, and it was still like $10 for the trade paperback. But
I feel like I saw an ad or something not long ago for a big collected edition of Omaha, where it was like, it was down to like, they collected it into like three volumes or something like that.
Yeah, and I have one or two. You know, like, I have the first two issues of Critters, and then I have a smattering of others. Like, I think the first issue of Critters was the first time that Usagi Yojimbo was ever shown in the U.S.
comics. Right.
And it has early comics from Albedo before it was a standalone thing. Like, this is one of the earliest furry comics that is super, super, super out of print, and not people have a ton of issues of them. And, like, for me, I found them because somebody donated their collection to Half Price Books.
Right.
And I just used to go to the Half Price Books near the Toys R Us where I worked. And it's actually really easy to look through comics and find the old ones, because smaller, less mass market books generally had higher quality paper than older comics in that same genre. So their paper is cleaner, is whiter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go also for, I mean, hell, it's actually for anything, like Antarctic Press or Radio Comics or whatever. They use higher quality glossy paper in their older comics. So it's easy to point out, to pick out the non-big three comics, or big four at the time, big five, you know, Image, Dark Horse,
okay, so
Marvel, DC.
In December 2013, 976 pages long, the complete Omaha the Cat Dancer.
Okay.
$62 on Amazon.
Huh.
It says only one left in stock, but, you know, if it was just printed in 2013, it's probably still findable.
Yeah, and that's not something I'm like, also those are,
yeah, it's a massive trade paperback.
Like, I would literally have to take my book apart to scan it properly. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But the Albedo comics I have, I can bend them gently enough that it's not going to fuck up the spine. Because those are just, like, staple-bound.
Yeah.
They're old-ass comics. Digitally scanning them and putting them out there just so that other people can try to fill in the collections. Like, this is what I have. I have 9 and 10 and one of the, like, secondary books. There's also an Albedo RPG that came out.
I remember
back in the day. Bob's a big fan of it, apparently. Which is, like, he has a copy of it, apparently. But, yeah, it's really interesting to see that a lot of the comics, while the art and stuff has progressed, a lot of the stories necessarily haven't. Like, there's still, like, gay storylines in some of the early Omaha book.
Huh.
Or Omaha comics. And things like Vixen's Keep, which is a one-shot.
Yeah, I've got Vixen's Keep, too. So I saw you. I think it was you that posted a picture of that. Or was that?
No, that was Space me.
Twins? That was
and then, of course, I also included in that picture some of the old Furnation printed versions of Carpe Diem.
Yeah.
And his reply was like, holy crap, printed Carpe Diem?
Yeah, like, a lot of people didn't really know that those were even a thing.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Adam. Welcome back. Panther came home and he went to the kitchen, so Adam had to go double check and be like, is he going to drop any food?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it is adorable, though. I got him that new bed today.
The little new bed. Yeah, I know.
And he immediately, like, took to it. He realized, oh, this is for me, because it's getting colder and he really hates it. So when I left to go to the store earlier, I wrapped him up in his blanket and left, and he was on the couch. When I came back, he was still wrapped up in the blanket with his head poking out, just like, I'm warm and comfy. It sucks being outside of my blanket. So I also got him the cutest little doggy bomber jacket looking thing.
You should post a picture of that. I don't know if you tweeted it.
I don't think I've tweeted it yet.
So I had heard about this service several years ago. It's called Flattr, F-L-A-T-T-R, And that is their @ on Twitter. And they've actually it was a way back in the day to like throw a couple of bucks to some creators that you liked. I never used it. I'm not sure how widespread it actually got. But today they wrote a blog in light of Patreon's fee structure changes. And they have been adding everybody who has complained about Patreon on Twitter. So I sent Savern a link to the blog, and he can throw that into the show notes. And, you know, look into that and see what they have to offer. As maybe not an alternative, but an addition to Patreon to kind of maybe fill that gap. Also, just noted that as of 2 hours ago, Patreon has posted an update to their blog about their fee structure change. I'm not sure if it's actually going to accomplish anything or if it will just be some fiddle fucking around to try and justify themselves, but we'll see.
Huh. So Patreon posted an update post, so I updated my math. It turns out Patreon isn't skimming way more offer pledges. I owe them an apology. All the extra money they're taking now, straight to PayPal.
Oh.
So they changed the... So they changed from using Stripe to using PayPal, which is probably why they did the bullshit with porn. Dudes.
What bullshit? I've heard something's going back and forth on porn.
So
what's the latest thing on porn?
They're basically adding more restrictions for adult content on Patreon. And some of it's, you know, it's like, oh, it can't be more hardcore stuff or whatever. And
why
can't
the fuck
be like
would you move from Stripe to PayPal? Like, that's the opposite of what everybody else is doing.
I'm making money motions with my fingers here.
Like, PayPal was like, hey, we'll give you some of this sweet, sweet cash, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
If we become, like, your exclusive payment
handler. That will result in more, I bet that'll affect porn artists as well, because PayPal's always been real shit about that.
PayPal's shit about a lot of things.
PayPal's shit.
Yeah. They're a fucking unregulated bank. I mean, they do what they want, and, you know, fuck you, we're keeping your money if you do anything that pisses us off. This is why I always make sure I empty out my PayPal account if I ever receive any incoming funds. Don't leave funds in your PayPal.
Yeah, I totally, like, back when we were still doing, EventZilla used to do PayPal.
Yeah.
As their back end, so we got double dipped a little bit on the thing, on our ticket sales for Nightmare Nights.
Oh.
It was $1 fee to EventZilla and then PayPal's fees.
Shit, right.
And we ate that fee on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And in our last year, they switched to using WePay, which put the fees on the side of the purchaser, which basically is the only reason why we were vaguely profitable this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was because we weren't paying the fees the attendees were.
Right.
Like, it seriously lines up with we paid... What we didn't have to pay in fees is about how much money we got left over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a ton. And so, that's bullshit. It's bad.
Yeah.
And Panther has sent me a link. He is standing in the doorway, shaking his head. I'm going to look at this link and see what it is. What is it? Wait.
Is that GIF of the guy twirling his dick?
Across the battle... This is from El Presidente, Grandpa Poo Brain. Papaya Pinochet. Across the battlefields, oceans, and harrowing skies of Europe and the Pacific throughout the war, one battle cry could be heard by America's friends and foes alike. Remember Pearl Harbor. What?
Oh, jeez. Is that really his...
Yes. Wait, back up. The skies of Europe? Utter voice from Animal House. Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Grandpa Poo Brain. Stop tweeting. Oh, goodness. What else?
You broke my head now with the... We were talking about albedo.
And apparently you said... And I'm looking at the website. Apparently it's scans of individual pages and not aggregated at all.
Right.
So it's this massive, huge, long page of individual images that you'd have to, I guess, piece together?
It doesn't... I don't think it's... I'm not sure if it's every... so it's SteveGalacci.com. Steve Galacci is the creator of Albedo. I'm not sure if he put, like, the whole issues on his website. I think it might just be a few sample pages showing certain artistic elements and stuff like that. But.
Kind of it. Talked about Zootopia comics. We've talked about Uncle Pooh Brain and the fires, MFF, and the goodness that came out of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, oh, the fandom sure is dead with 8,700 people and $80,000 for charity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like I said last week, I mean, we've wrapped up business with Nightmare Nights. So we paid the hotel bill and paid the charity out.
Sweet.
So that's wrapped up. Pretty much that's completely done.
Nice.
And good riddance.
Let's put a bow on that.
Put a little bow and
put shove it into a dumpster.
Yeah. Oh, the... You know, the Pony Fandom has maybe like a year and a half left of the show, and then the fandom, what's left of it. Seth posted his thing today. Oh, it's my birthday. I'm 30 now. And I'm like, yeah, remember when you were younger and full of hope and hadn't been driven half mad by horses and horse accessories?
Uh-huh.
Ah, God. What a weird time. I'm getting more messages. Papaya Pinochet and Orange Julius Caesar are my favorites, I think, Panther says.
Let's not end on a down note. You have a book here. What is it?
It's in the bag. Oh, yeah. I got my dad a copy of the Communist Manifesto for his birthday. Or for Christmas.
Oh.
It literally is a copy of the Signet
Classic. Signet Classic Edition, yeah.
Yeah. It showed up. Like I mentioned before, we're getting my dad books
stuff,
and he's reading again. And I found a copy of that at the MetroCrest resale. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll hand him that. My goal is I'll eventually radicalize him into being a full-on communist and socialist agitator so he can run for office and kick out some of the dumbasses in his local business.
I love the it's so short, but like the first 40 plus, the first almost 50 pages are preface to the German edition of 1872, preface to the Russian edition of 1882, more prefaces to the German edition, preface to the English edition of 1888. Manifesto of the Communist Party starts on page 49.
What the hell? Clue, elimination, the ultimate stealth blaster game. Who will be the last one standing? It is a game of Clue where you shoot your fellow detectives, I guess. Fuck? It's like, I do say, it was Jim Bob in the balcony with the candlestick. Also, headshot, bitch.
Just shoot them.
Oh, and hey, somehow, we haven't gotten any, but San Antonio's up to half an inch of snow.
I saw tweets from Austin first saying it was snowing down in Austin, too.
Nice.
And Tyrion said there were snow furries because he typoed it in Telegram. And at first, I thought he said slow furries, and I was like... Like the slots at the DMV?
Yes.
But no, he said there were snow flurries when he got to work, I guess, this morning. So I haven't seen much up here, though. It's just, it's always weird to me when places south of us get, like, a bunch of snow and we don't, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is that the places that have winter storm warnings are fucking Corpus Christi and Zapata County and... Places like San Antonio and Austin are getting winter weather advisories.
But it's like the coastal area.
Yeah, Corpus Christi is getting a snowstorm.
The fuck?
And nothing north of Belton is getting shit in terms of winter weather.
So weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's totally fine because Texas, like, explodes when there's snow, especially around here.
Oh, yeah.
You like, know. People flip the fuck out. Oh, God, a piece of snow hit the windshield, close all the schools. Jesus Christ.
You're not lying. I mean, we just don't have the infrastructure to handle it, you know. If we start getting more snow, we're going to have to invest in more than one dump truck to haul sand to the overpasses.
New Braunfels says, or tweet from 27 minutes ago, saying they got 2 inches of snow. Wow. And, of course, for anybody north of us going, Fucking casuals. Yes, we are fucking snow casuals, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is North Texas. We get nothing.
Yeah.
So I look over there, and there's some, like, random shit going on. It's the Game Awards. I finally got the stream working.
Oh, okay.
I just want the free fucking cape for Warframe, okay? And we're not relying on the internet right now, so I can have that running over there just on the screen while we're over here talking podcast.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I looked over, and it's just like, there's a guy on stage weaving a sword around. Oh, it's some Nintendo guy with Link's tunic and a rusty-ass Master Sword. Okay, that's cool. They're probably adding some new DLC for Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
That looks like it's what it is. And he has a weird sword. Okay, that's cool. I'll see it after we're done here. Panther notes, to be fair, we don't get snow, but we do get driving sleet, which turned to a solid layer of ice an inch thick over everything.
Yeah, that's actually really dangerous. I remember a few years ago when we had all that ice, and it was like, oh, it's raining, oh, it's frozen, and then it would, like, snow more the next day, so you had, like, this double layer cake of frozen slick mounds of snow instead of like puffy snow.
And yeah,
it was like you take your life in your hands going to check your mailbox.
Oh yeah, and because it just becomes this clear crust of ice on everything, requires you to like stab it. You get one of those little ice poles just to really crack it up so that you're not flipping out everywhere. And again, I have to think of poor Adam, my poor cold son.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I got him a cute little coat, but
he needs little booties.
I know.
Little snowshoes.
I was able to put his coat on him, and he liked it, but also, could I get little booties on his paws, or would he, like, flick them off if he could?
They're not expensive if you just wanted to try it out. If you didn't like them, you could just toss them.
Yeah, or return them.
Get him a pair of Uggs because he's a basic bitch.
Oh no. My son, he's not a basic bitch. He's a good boy. So there's a new Legend of Zelda expansion pass, DLC pack 2. I guess it's you can play as the heroes in Zelda. That's cool.
Mm.
Maybe. Wait. Link had a fucking motorcycle.
Oh, God, really?
And it says available tonight, so Link can get a fucking motorcycle in Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I need to get in on that shit.
What even is continuity?
Well, I mean, the big enemy force in Zelda Breath of the Wild is a fucking drone army.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the spider mechs.
He's attacking Amazon?
Yes. Amazon has taken over the kingdom, and they're using their laser drones to terrorize the populace who aren't Amazon Prime members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you try to steal from a shop, the drones will come get you. And they have both spider drones and the flying drones.
That's why the next Super Mario battle game is going to have Link versus Optimus Prime.
Yep. It's all coming together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's cool. There's new Legend of Zelda DLC that I haven't beaten Legend of Zelda yet.
Mm.
Still haven't beaten Mario. I take games very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to be in the mood to sit down and be like, I'm going to commit to playing a chunk of this game.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's cool. Like, not ever. But there are some people that are like, I'm going to get this new game, and I'm going to call into work or school, and I'm just going to fucking play it and beat it as fast as I can. And then there's people like you that are like, I'm just going to kind of take it easy and play a little bit at a time and whatever. And, you know, both approaches are valid. You know?
Yep.
Whatever you enjoy.
But I do think it's hilarious that there is one of these senior Nintendo dudes up on stage dressed as Link, like in his blue tunic. This
oh,
like
yeah.
50, 60-year-old Japanese man who's like 5 foot tall, mm-hmm. looking very dignified next to these other presenters, just like, I'm Link.
Link.
At this point, we should probably, I guess, wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're at an hour, so we didn't end up doing a 3-hour episode, and we said, oh, it'll be quick. And I'll edit this down, and it'll be a little bit shorter, because we had some technical difficulties. This is where we do our social media bullshits. So
oh, okay.
Find me on Twitter at Savin Drake.
Find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. And you can find the show on Twitter at Notcast. We are on Tumblr, Patreon, Fur Affinity, all is Notcast.
Yep.
And you go to fuzzwolf.com, and I've got links and stuff there for my other stuff. Go to furplanet.com, buy my books.
Yep. Buy his books.
Buy our new 2018 Cheetah Paws calendar.
Yes, all the 13 bulges.
Sexy bulges. The theme this year's heroes.
Yep, and you can get last year's, which is what? Was it the space one or the samurai one?
Samurai was last year. It was the 2017 one, and we're selling that for $5.
Yes, I mean, if anything, it's 13 really high gloss, big old prints of bulgy dudes. For $5. So buy one of each. You should do it. Christmas gifts, kids. Yeah. Your grandma totally is going to want that buff tiger dude with the massive balls and big
absolutely.
Dick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, grandma's a freak. Trust me. So on that note,
good night.
And big balls.